This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. David told himself, I will. Have you ever had to tell yourself to do something? I don't want to, but I will do it. Many of you here today, maybe you don't feel like praising the Lord. You just lifted your arms and said, I was going through the motions. Well, I'm telling you, God says, this is the day I've made for you. It's not the day you've made for you. It's the day he's made for you. David did a lot of things in his life. It wasn't always great, wasn't it? But he says, I will rejoice, and I will give you the glory. There's a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth, great speaker, preacher, faith healer. When asked, when he wasn't feeling well one day, he says, how you feeling, Smith? He said, speaking of himself in the third person, you know, Smith never asks himself how he feels. Smith tells himself how he feels. You know what? The flesh profits us nothing, how we feel. It's the Spirit. It's the Word that gives us life. So, Heavenly Father, I just pray as we go through your Word today, you're going to anoint this service. Lives will be forever changed. Thank you for the hands that were raised, Father, either first time that they've committing their lives to Christ or even coming back to the cross. And I just, I praise you. And Father, we give you all the glory in advance. In Jesus' name, as you remain standing, today is the day, though, we start the fast. Amen? Wow, you're a little more excited than I thought. Okay, you won't say that day five. All right, so today, the flesh won't. The Spirit will be very excited. All right, but the moment you humble yourselves and pray, the Word says, that God starts working on your behalf. So when we started humbling ourselves, you start praying and fasting, wow, do you know that God's working on whatever it is that you want and you're desiring? And said, it's not your plan, it's his plan, how to solve it. During this time, the next 7 days of prayer and fasting, he will speak to you. He will speak to you. Some will see that actual miracle, the manifestation take place. Some will get a word about when it's going to take place. And I'm telling you right now, James says, don't just be a hearer. Don't just be a listener of what God says, but now you have to do it. God's going to give you instruction. Okay, this is how I want you to handle that marital situation, this financial situation. And it says, don't just hear it and go, well, that was a good idea, God, but I don't want to do it. You're humbling yourselves and fasting to get God's direction on something, but you have to do it. The plans that God has for you aren't to harm you. They're to prosper you in the way you should go. 3 John 2, as Pastor Brooks said earlier. Hey, you know what? As your soul prospers, as it matures, it says, I'll add everything else onto you. What are all the everything else? Everything that you need to do his plan. But it's only after you seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness that everything else will be added onto you. We're just quoting the Word, everyone. It's just the Word. It's the Word. On the screen this morning, we're going to start off with John 1:1. We did this last week. But to set our minds, our hearts on the Word. The Word is the only thing that's going to clarify. It's going to clear the path. It's a light unto our path. I mean, this is going everything, all the answers to life are right here. Let's say this together. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything was made. John 14:1-14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and true. And lastly, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. You may be seated. Interesting, that verse says, if my people. Did you know that we're God's people? If we would humble ourselves and pray, if we would seek his face, turn from our own wicked ways, then he'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And as we're going through a fast, I know many of you, and for me, myself, my wife and I, we're looking for direction and wisdom on a couple of areas. You know, wisdom is, the Bible says we could have wisdom if we ask for it. But I don't want wisdom from somebody else. I don't want my natural wisdom. I want a supernatural wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, I love that, deficient, lacking, don't know what to do, or don't know what to do smartly. I mean, this is lacking wisdom. Let him ask of giving God who gives to everyone. How many people? He gives it to everyone liberally, ungrudgingly, without reproach or fault finding, and it will be given him. Well, I told you what to do before, Grant, and you didn't take it, so I'm going to withhold wisdom from you. What? He says, Grant, I'm not going to fault find you for what you didn't listen last time. Here's what I have to say. Now it's up to you to do it. See, God will speak to you, but will you do it? This is God speaking. Do we do it? Holy Spirit speaks to us, but will we do it? Colossians 1:9, Paul's writing to the church. He says, for this cause, since the day we heard it, we do not cease praying for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, that takes some maturity. When you wait for God, you're fasting, you're praying, he tells you something through his word, he tells you, he speaks to you. Many of us already know God's moving us and doing something in our lives. He's saying, this is what I want you to do here, but we just don't want to do it. Anyone? So you don't even want to raise your hand, you're embarrassed. So I do it all the time. God, I don't want to do that. He goes, so you're not going to do it? I go, no, I'm not going to do it. But God, please bless me. Please just, God, I just love you so much. Well, just, I do, I just love you. If you love me, keep my commands. I know, but maybe I didn't hear that right. Oh, no, you know what I'm saying. Well, maybe I should fast and pray. Oh, yeah, when you humble yourselves, you fast and pray, you're going to hear from God. Oftentimes, you're going to hear something you don't like. So it's up to you if you want to do his word or not. You have to decide, are you going to do it? But I want you this morning, before we begin, I want you to just look at the person right next to you. This is good. Look at the person. No, seriously, look at the person right next to you. And just say, uh-oh. He's not going to say one single thing I want him to say today. Go ahead. I'm not going to say one single thing you want him to say. But everything that I need. Because I don't speak of myself. I'm only going to speak what the word says. When we come to God's house, we should be challenged by the word. We shouldn't have softballs thrown at us and go, well, yeah, I already agreed with that. No, we should be beat up. Paul says, I buffet my body every single day. Why? That word cuts me. Man, it's just cut. Why? God's not doing it just because of your heart, because he wants you to be better. He wants you perfecting in your faith. He didn't say, I want you perfect. He says, no, I want you perfecting. I want every single day, I want you striving to be more like. So I just want to get this passage out of the way today because I think it's important, because that's why I had you look at yourself. And it's not about what we want, it's about what we need. God said he'll provide all our needs. He never talked about our wants. He goes, I'll give you what you need. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, it says, herald and preach the word. He's talking to a pastor now. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by. Be hand ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable. So whether or not it looks good or not, get ready. Why? Because sometimes it's going to be convenient or inconvenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. What are you talking about? A preacher of the word. The word is not always convenient, everyone. The word is not always favorable. Our natural man is contrary to this. Our spirit man lines up with this. Our natural man has difficulty. So the word, I'm supposed to preach a word to show people in what ways their lives are wrong. You know what? I really want to be liked. So the temptation is to say something and to preach something that everyone likes, that's favorable, that everyone says, oh, that's really good. I wasn't offended at all today. Oh, that's just, oh, wow. Woo, woo. That's not my job. My job is not to make you bleed so bad that you can't make it to the car either. Bible says, convince, rebuke, correct, warn, urge, and encourage. That's what God's word is. Because the flesh rebukes, it corrects, it warns. With the spirit, it starts urging and encouraging, because we put off the old and put on the new. So as we look at not just today, but as we're starting fasting, you know what? This is giving up our wants to say, God, this is all I need. And I want to hear from you this week. I want wisdom. I want direction. I want to see supernatural things happen. I want to start something in the heavenlies. So I love everyone here. So does God. But the word might be a little sharp at times today. Hebrews 5:12 says, for even though there's a time that all of us should be teaching others, it doesn't mean teaching, instructing each other in classroom. It means by maturing and living a godly example. My life is a teaching example of what Christ can do in somebody. It says, but you actually need someone to teach you over and over again the very first principles of God's word. You have come to need milk and not solid food. Wow. See, meat takes a while to chew. Is everyone in agreement with that? Meat. Milk, you don't chew on milk that much unless you got some really bad milk. So, milk, it goes right down. Not a little disagreement with that. Didn't stop along the way. Milk, okay, I get that. But now as we mature in our walk with Jesus Christ, we should be getting onto the meat things of the word. And I'm telling you, fasting is meat. Fasting is for the mature. Not going without food is not for the mature. It's humbling yourself, and praying is for the mature in Christ. Bible says we should be doing that. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God speaks. It's alive. It's full of power, making it active, operating, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating, dividing the line of breath of life, the soul, the immortal spirit, and joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing, sifting, analyzing, and judging the very thoughts and purposes of your heart. If you're here this morning and you're looking at me and you have thoughts right now, God's judging it. Whatever you're thinking of right now, God's saying, why are you thinking that way? Why are you doing that? Why? You got to take captive every single thought and say, wow, God, I bring this back. Because the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. It's not but what you want. It has nothing to do with that. My own desires, but it has righteousness, being right in front of God, which ultimately brings me peace, which brings me joy in all situations. Well, Pastor Grant, I want to be happy all the time. Does anybody want to be happy all the time? Yeah, let's just be, hey, I appreciate your honesty this morning, right? But do we know that we're not happy all the time? Because we don't always get our way. When are we happy? When we get our way. But the kingdom of God is not getting your own way. It's about doing what is right. Doing what is right is contrary to what is wrong, and what is wrong is what the flesh wants to do. That's what the Bible talks about, right? I do what is wrong. Paul said every single day, man, I don't want to do this. But I just did what was wrong again. I can't believe I did this. So I have to die to something. I have to beat it up. Because the thief, when you do what is wrong, and when you say, man, I just don't feel like it. I don't want to do that. And John 10:10 says the thief comes, that's the enemy, Satan. He comes to steal and kill and destroy, but God's word comes so that you may have and enjoy life and have it into its fullness. Anything contrary to this is going to kill you. For the season, it may look like fun. For the season, yeah, but it's just so much easier. Because you know what? Now we're getting back onto the milk. See, as a new baby and Christian, it's like, okay, little milk, okay. Then we get so accustomed to milk. If anyone gives us other than milk, we go, oh, man, what is that? Our old flesh, when we become a born-again believer, we say, God, your way is better than my ways. Everything's unto you. And all of a sudden, we start going back to that old flesh. That's the easy way of doing it because that's what we're used to doing. How will we respond? How do we act out of fear? How do we talk to people? How do I handle situations? But Matthew 6:33 says, seek and aim it and strive after, first of all, the kingdom of God and its righteousness. His way of doing and being right, and then everything else will be taken care of. So what a promise from God that we don't have to live a life always looking out for ourselves, but we just have to follow Christ, and he takes care of every single thing for us. Doesn't mean I don't have to work. Bible says don't be a sluggard. Look at the ants and how they work. You have to work because that is your place and position, not just to provide, but also because God's your provision. He says, I give you a work to provide for family, but I'm also giving you a platform to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So last week as we talked about fasting, first, we went into, in Matthew 17, his disciples, they had done miracles before, they had prayed for people, saw miraculous things take place, but this time, it didn't happen. In life, we go through situations where, man, I've always done this before and it always works. I mean, I can't believe this is, I just can't believe, boy, I've had this car now for 17 years and it's always started. Why didn't it start today? There's an expectation of we've done this, and it's always happened. But when something doesn't, it's like, man, what could be wrong? I've always done it this way. So the disciples were like, wait, what's going on? Why couldn't they? Jesus came down, and remember, we looked at it, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. But in this passage, he said, hey, this type of power can only come through prayer and fasting. The power that they had to heal didn't come from food, because then, man, give me that superfood. I'll eat that all the time. The power doesn't come from not having food or having the food. It's about what we're doing to ourselves because of it. We're praying and we're humbling ourselves before God. We're taking just what we need, and we're praying and we're fasting. Remember, there's time of fasting. It's not what we're fasting from. It's what we're fasting for. Don't make it about food. Make it about God's will. Don't make this about fasting for your plan. It's I'm fasting for God's plan be manifested in my life. Then we looked at Jesus, the Son of God, the one who created us in his image, in his likeness, in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. He, the Son of God, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Do we want to fast? No, I don't think so. Yeah, that was Jesus. He probably needed it. I don't need that. No, the Son of God fasted. The Son, he was tempted in every single way. During the next 7 days, you will be tempted. The very thing that you're asking God for wisdom on, just make sure it's God telling you what to do it, because that won't be contrary to his word. Relational issues, financial, whatever it is. Praying for healing, praying for restoration, whatever it is. The word will come. You might actually see the manifestation in this 7-day time period, or you might have a word that says, you know what, I'm working on your behalf. Don't worry about it. But this is what I want you to do in the meantime. You're going to continue to do this. You're going to continue this. And I want you to more word even more. You can see what's going to happen because I'm going to speak to you. And then thirdly, Daniel humbled himself, a man of high prestige. He was one of the top leaders of the Babylonian Empire during King Nebuchadnezzar. He humbled himself, he prayed, and he fasted. And what happened? He was shown things to come. He didn't see it actually manifest during that 21-day Daniel fast. It was way further out. But God told him something that was going to take place. When you humble yourselves and pray, God speaks to you. Well, doesn't he speak to us all the time? He speaks to us through his word, sure. But do any of us, even including myself, do we spend hours a day in prayer? So when we fast and pray, even corporately, we come into the church, and from 7 to 9, man, you have an opportunity to pray for 15 minutes, hour, 2 hours. That's a way to shut the cell phones off. It's like, I want to hear from God. No distractions. I'm not taking kids to practices. I'm going to get that covered by somebody else. I want to lock in, and I want to hear from you. And the word says in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to guide you into all truth, the whole, full truth. He will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell, Holy Spirit, whatever he hears from the Father. The Holy Spirit will not direct you in anything contrary to God's word. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce it and declare to you the things, which are things are God's word, that are going to come and will happen in the future. Oh. Well, that sounds kind of mystic, Pastor. I don't know about that. No, why is he telling you? Because you're going to have peace. When God tells you, I'm going to take care of this, and this is how I'm going to do it, there's a peace that comes over you. See, you and I can't operate in fear. We can't operate in fear. God's going to show us things to come. Well, I want him to tell me everything. Jesus also said, if I told you everything, you couldn't handle it. If I told you that you're going to go here, and you're going to go, that's impossible, because that means, yes, that's exactly what that means. But he says, supernaturally, I'm going to get you to point A and point B, so stop worrying about it. I would love to show you the rest, but trust in me, I'm going to show you things to come. So today, there's going to be two stories we're going to start with in the Bible about what's going to take place and things from not just during this fast, but during when you pray in general. And first, we're going to start with the story of Esau. In the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 25, Isaac had some kids. Here's a story, real quick story. I'm going to start with verse 19. This is a story of descendants of Isaac. Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. In verse 21, Isaac prayed much for the Lord for his wife because she was unable to bear children. The Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, became pregnant. The two children struggled within her. That's not a good sign. They're already at each other before they're born. And she said, if it's so that the Lord has heard our prayers. Wow, this is, why am I like this? Wait, if God's heard my prayer, how come everything's not perfect? Wait, God, if you're working all things out to my good and you're answering prayer, then how come I'm not happy? How come everything's not going the way I want to? The Lord said to her in verse 23, the founders of two nations are in your womb. The separation of two people have begun in your body, and the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. Wow, that didn't make sense. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there was twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment. I love the Bible. And they named him Esau, which meant hairy. Now you would think they would just named him Harry, but okay. They wanted to offend him. They didn't want him to pick up on it, get a complex. All right. I just made myself laugh. Okay, verse 26. Afterward, his brother came forth. His hand grasped Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob, supplanter. Isaac was 60 years old when he gave birth to them. When the boys grew up, Esau was cunning and skilled hunter, man of the outdoors, but Jacob was plain and quiet man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved and was partial to Esau because he ate Esau's games, the animals. Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob one day was boiling lentil stew. One day, nothing like a good bowl of lentil stew. When Esau came from the field and was faint with hunger, Esau said to Jacob, I beg of you, let me have some of that red lentil stew. You got to be pretty hungry to beg for red lentil stew. For I am faint and famished. That is why his name was called Edom, or in red was Edom. Jacob had answered, then sell me today your birthright. Okay, now the firstborn gets two-thirds of the inheritance, and he's a descendant of Abraham. Abraham had a lot of stuff. He's getting there's a lot of blessing that's coming his way. And Jacob gives him give me your complete inheritance for bowl soup. Esau said, here I am, I'm at the point of death. What could this birthright do to me? How's the birthright going to save me if I don't get a bowl of soup right now? I mean, it's been 2 hours since I ate. I'm going to die if I don't get some red. Dude, you might die if you eat that soup. You and I desire so much of the scene, of the comfortable. We get so desperate or so tired of dealing with family issues, dealing with, God, I need wisdom in this, or you won't restore this. I'll just settle for some soup. Soup is what is seen. The blessing is what's unseen. God called us to be people of faith and not to walk by what we see, because faith is the substance of what is not seen and the evidence, things to come. There is something that God has for you bigger than any bowl of soup. I don't want to live a soup-filled life and go, okay, bowl of soup again today. Well, bowl of soup. Man, with God, it should be a filet day every single day. Soup. But he gave up what God had because of what he thought he needed. He thought he needed something. No, he wanted something. God is going to have what he needed. You and I, as joint heirs of Jesus Christ, God has what we need. He says, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He says, grant every single thing you can think of, I've already provided it for you. Just follow my footsteps. Everywhere you go, I'll provide. I'll take care of it for you. Don't let family become an idol. Don't let your friends become an idol. Don't become pleasing your wife or your husband become an idol to you. Well, as long as they're happy, that's my bowl of soup. I was never called to make my wife happy? You don't find that in here. It says I'm called to love her like Christ loved the church. Loving Kelly is not always going to make her happy. Her happiness is found following God. Mine is found following God. When you try to please your kids, when you try to please everybody else but God, that's your bowl of soup. Because God's got far more for you than anything that you can even dream of or imagine. He says, Grant, love her like I love the church. But God, she's not treating me very, and I say, she's not happy with me. That's okay. That's okay, Grant. You worry about you. I'll take care of her. I told you it was going to hurt today. It's going to be okay. God's got big Band-Aids too. First, we have the story of what Esau did with his bowl of soup settling. Then we have the story of Eli, the high priest, Shiloh. Here's a story of Eli we find in 1 Samuel. This is where you see the beginning ages and stages of the prophet Samuel. Eli, like many people in the church, have grown very apathetic. He had allowed some certain sins to come not just into his life, but also his kids' life. Kind of looked the other way, and he was kind of sleepy. He was just going through the motions of life. As a believer, you and I can go through the motions. We go through the motions. I've always done this. I always will. I just, okay, yeah, I got to go to church. Okay, yeah, we pray before we eat. Yeah, okay, honey, let's do what is right. All right. And we're not inspired at anything. Why? Because we settle for bowls of soup. Because, oh, man, that's going to, you know what, that's work. Oh, man, I don't want to do that. Oh, man. Eli became lethargic. He didn't even want to do God's work anymore. He'd been doing it for so long. See, he was doing it out of being religious as opposed to a follower of Christ. Being a follower of Christ is totally different than being religious. Listening to his voice every single day, he's going to take you places you never thought you would go. Because Proverbs 14:12 says there's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it's death. But we're going to pick up the story as Samuel, he was ministering unto the Lord before Eli. They were both working at the temple. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was not a lot of open vision. And it came to pass at that time, Eli, he was laying down in a place. And his eyes he was waxed dim, he was going to sleep. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of the Covenant was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. Interesting, Samuel was right there in the temple. The Lord called Samuel. And Samuel said, here I am. And he ran, though, unto Eli and said, here I am. You called me. And he says, I didn't call you. Lie down. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again to Samuel. Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. And he answered, I didn't call you. Go lay down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He wasn't tuned with his voice. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Eli perceived now that this was the Lord speaking to this child. Therefore, in verse 9, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. It shall be, if he calls you, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord then did come, stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant hears. And then the Lord spoke and said, I will do a thing. I will do a thing. A thing means God's word. Something that I've already spoken, I will do. Where was Samuel found? So it doesn't matter about your age. Age 12. He spoke to him. God's word is ageless. You mean he could call me into the ministry? You know what? Every single person in this room is called into the ministry. My job as a pastor, your job could be an accountant. I mean, I don't know. But we're all called to be ministers. Ministers of the gospel, wherever we go. Samuel, though, was found. The Bible is very clear. He was found laying right there in the temple in the presence of God. He was waiting. He heard something, and he wasn't quite sure. Man, is this God speaking to me? Is this God speaking to me? He said three different times, is this him? Is this him? Finally, yes, Samuel, it's me. See, during your times of prayer and fasting, God's going to speak to you. But he will never speak contrary to your word. Because he will always speak of something that's in his word. That's why you know it's him. He says right here, I will do a thing. Why? Something I already promised I will do in Israel. But you have to want to hear from God. You have to want to be desperate to hear from God. Most people are not desperate to hear from God because they usually don't like what God has to say. Unless it's bless me, bless me, bless me, I don't want to hear from God. If he says, correct you, correct you, correct you, if you're going to use a sword on me, a good God, I'm not really interested. I will not humble myself. I would rather sit here and have my bowl of soup. Because I know the soup is palatable. It'll go down like milk goes down. I don't have to gnaw it. I don't have to chew on it. I don't have to be challenged by it. I don't have to change my life if I actually listen to your, if I don't listen to your word, I don't have to change. But we put idols in front of us. For many of us who say, well, Pastor, can I fast? Should I do this? And for medical reasons, I'm saying, hey, check their doctor. Well, we send an email out. There's a sheet in the back. You can still eat. But this is just a test, I believe, for many of you. If you can't give up food for that thing that you've been praying and asking God for wisdom, for a mate for the rest of your life, for a job situation, you can't give up meat or coffee for 7 days? And you want God to miraculously speak through you? That's an idol. Anything that gets in the way of hearing from God is an idol. Anything that gets away from you pursuing God is an idol. Esau had a huge blessing waiting for him, but he said, I'll settle for soup. Can't wait. Can't wait any longer, God. Done waiting. Have soup. But I'm going to show you real quickly some examples in the Bible of people who press through and what happens, what it looks like when we pray and we want and we become desperate to what God wants for us. In Mark chapter 5, we see the woman with the issue of blood and the story of Jairus all tied up in the same chapter. The word said in verse 21, when Jesus had crossed the boat the other side and came gathered, he was in the lake shore, and then one of the rulers of the synagogue, one of the rulers, somebody who was prominent, came up, Jairus by name. Seeing Jesus, he prostrated himself at his feet and he humbled himself. He fell down right at, this is a man of high position, the synagogue. He knew this, he knew the rules. He still humbled himself. Church, there's nothing wrong. Well, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. There's nothing wrong with dropping to your knees and humbling yourself before God. Well, I don't want people to see me that I need direction and wisdom from God. That's what you want people to see. I want to go to the people who are still seeking God when they're 85 years old. I want to see people, well, I've been in church a long time. I don't need that, young man. I have soup. Run from the people who are having soup because they're in apathy towards their walk with Christ. They're like Eli. Their eyes have grown dim, and they're sitting there at church, but they're nothing anymore. And it's the one, but that's why God had to speak to a 12-year-old, because he can't speak to the other person because they won't listen. Well, I hear God all the time, but are you a doer of it? James said, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. Eli knew the word, but didn't do it anymore. So this man in verse 23 begged, my little daughter's at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she can be healed. And Jesus went through. He was cutting through the crowd, following him, and pressed on all sides. But then there was this woman. Jesus was on his way to take care of his problem first. There was a woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. She had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and spent all that she had. Was no better, but off, instead grew worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. She came up behind him in the throng and touched him. There's a big crowd. This woman, she had physical issues. She was going on. And it says that she pushed through because she heard about Jesus. I heard about Jesus. I heard who Jesus was. I gotta what? Verse 28. She said, if only I could just touch him. During this time of prayer and fasting, I just want to touch you. I just want to feel your presence. You may not be healed that day, but I would rather be in his presence any day. There's a lot of people who have been healed and run away from his presence. There's a lot of people who have had things restored to them, marriages and finances, and they run away from the Lord. We want to constantly be in his presence. We want to be in his presence. And immediately the flow of blood was dried up in the source, and she felt in her body, bam, she was healed. Verse 30. But Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power had just gone forth and proceeded out of him. What was that power? That was Holy Spirit power. Well, wait, hold on. So there was power inside of Jesus? Yeah, the Holy Spirit power, and that same spirit that can raise Christ from the dead, it can dwell in you. Okay, well, hold on. Yeah, but in Matthew 17, 21, Jesus said this type of prayer, this type of power only comes about through prayer and fasting. Wait, are you seeing there's fasting and power and all this? Okay, wait, no. During time of prayer and fasting, I'm spending time with God so the Holy Spirit can come inside of me. And the Holy Spirit in John 16, 13 will give me wisdom, and he will show me things to come. There's power in knowing things to come. There's power in knowing how to handle a situation. There is power in having wisdom and learning from people who have gone before you. In verse 35, we're going to skip down. While he was waiting for Jesus, he was talking to him. His servant came up to Jairus and said, "Forget it. Situation's done. Daughter's dead." Overhearing, verse 36, but ignoring what they just said. I love that. Jesus said, I could really care less. Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Don't be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing." He permitted no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John and the brother of James into the house to lay hands on this girl. Why? Why just them? Why? During your times of prayer and fasting, I strongly encourage you to surround yourself with just a handful of people who are full of faith. He didn't need people lacking. But he also wanted to see the power. He wanted them to see the power. He wanted to have that. You guys, I want you to watch what's going to happen here. I want you to see this. But he also selected them. He didn't let anybody else come in. It's important you surround yourself with people who are full of faith, who know the word, who will speak the word only into your life. And it says the girl was healed immediately. Then there's a story in Matthew 8, the Roman soldier. Jesus went to Capernaum. A centurion soldier came up to him begging him and said, "My servant boy is laying at my house paralyzed and with intense pains." Jesus said, "I'll come to restore him." But the centurion said, okay, Jesus, I love this in verse 8, just speak the word. One word from God can change your whole situation. What am I looking for? I'm just going to this person. No, you want a word from the Lord. No, I'm going to have this person pray over me because they always have good words for me. I want a word from the Lord. I'm not saying they can't confirm something, but guess what? God ain't going to tell you something he ain't going to tell you. Why? If you're waiting, if you're listening, if you're at the altar, Samuel, he spoke to Samuel. Samuel goes, "Wait, are you talking to me?" "Yeah, you talking to me?" That was my best New Jersey accent. "You talking to me?" "Yeah, he's talking to you." Jesus will talk to you. He doesn't need to go somewhere else. He can talk directly to you. Why? Because in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on top of people for a period of time for them to do great things. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes inside of every single one of us. So he can speak a word directly to you. And the prophets of old, in the Old Testament, he spoke to the prophets. In the New Testament, he speaks to every single one. Because the prophetic is in every single sign one of us. So we're wandering around, "Oh, I need a word. No, you need to spend time with God, who is the word, and he will give it to you. He gives it. He will give it liberally. In verse 13, Jesus said, "It shall be done to you that which you have believed." The story in Luke 19 of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. A tax collector. A tax collector. It says here, he ran ahead and climbed up in a tree in order to see Jesus. He wanted Jesus so bad, he climbed a tree just to see him.
"Well, Pastor, I'm praying for my family, and it's just so..."
"Would you come pray and fast?" "No, not really." "Why?" "You know, it's the playoffs and everything, and it's just..." You know, this guy, he climbed a tree to see Jesus. How of your time during prayer or fasting, Jesus goes, I'm going to show you something. Okay, God, show it to me. Run outside in the snow, go climb a tree. You know what your natural mind would say? "I don't want to do that." And you know what Jesus say? "There's your bowl of soup." You want what is seen as opposed to the unseen. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you things to come, but you have to be obedient in how I'm going to tell you to do it. It's not climbing the tree that did it. What it did is it showed the obedience or his desire to see who Jesus. He wanted to see him. Matter of fact, after he met with Jesus, it said, the story continues on. It says, Zacchaeus, all of a sudden he said, you know what? Half of what I have, I'm going to give it back to every single person. And if I wronged everyone, I'm going to give it four times. That is the power of the Holy Spirit working on someone and speaking to you. See, God's going to work in you when you humble yourself and speak to him. And you desire to see him. He's going to speak to you. And you might actually wind up going to ask for forgiveness from somebody. You might have actually wronged someone in the past. Has anyone ever wronged anybody? Well, just three people. Great. That's awesome. We have a really good church, Pastor Brooks. Everyone's so good. You know that God might speak to you to go ask for forgiveness from somebody? See, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Zacchaeus said, I got to take care of this. I got to right these wrongs. There's a story of Naaman, 2 Kings. He was a captain. We've gone from government officials, we're going to military people, from Daniel, high up in the people in authority. See, people in authority, we think the higher I get in the kingdom, I don't have to humble myself anymore. No, the reason you're high in the kingdom is because you've humbled yourself the whole time. If he can trust you with the little things, he can trust you with the big things. See, we look at people, we aspire to be like them, we want to look like them, we want to act like them, we just don't want to do what it takes to be like that. We want to do the works that Jesus did. We just don't want to do the work that Jesus had to do it. But the story of Naaman, 2 Kings, he's the captain of the Syrian army. He was a leper. And he came. He says, I went over to Israel. I heard I can be healed here. And Elijah said to him, fine. The prophet said, go dump yourself in the river. Go dunk seven times in the dirty Jordan River. Just go. Let's do it. And he looked, what? Do you know who I am? Do you know what that river's like? That's gross. That's dirty. See, we want the end game of what God has for us. We just don't want to do what it takes to get there. But his servant came up to him and said, Naam, and I think this is in the message, are you nuts? The man of God just told you to go dip in that river seven times and you would be healed. Naam did it. He, right in front of the town, he dunked himself seven times in that dirty river. It wasn't the dirty river that healed him, because then everyone could just jump in that river. It was the faith that he had to trust God that I don't see how this is going to work, but if it's from you, I will do it. And it says Naam was healed. Over the next 7 days, and not just limited to the next 7 days, we have to be in tune with what God is telling us to do. He will never speak contrary to his word. We're not fasting to get our own way. We're fasting to know what God's way is. I'm not fasting to get my way. I'm fasting to know what God's way is. Whether it's I don't care if it's a job relocation. I don't care if you have to move. Whatever it is, God's going to speak to you in such a mighty way, you know it's going to be him. You need to humble yourself. What does this look like? Practical application, testimonies is great. I love it when I can use my own family because no one else gets hurt except for them. Okay, ready? Testimony time. As you know, I've shared this before in the church. In 1999, I had 6 blood clots. I will go on this part quick. God was doing a work in me. I was not serving the Lord. I was going to church, but I was not doing that what I should be doing. I was settling for soup. We lived a very good life. We had cars, we had houses, we had money. I was building. It was just awesome. I thought life was great. My marriage was terrible. My walk with Christ was bad. I had 6 blood clots. God got my attention. Isn't that interesting how God gets your attention? You know that God will use anything to get your attention? He uses bad situations? Oh, yeah. You know, he got Jonah's attention and the whale. And he can do anything he wants to do. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. So I got out of the hospital. I'm thinking, okay, God, I need to change. What do you want me to do? Grant, I want you to go in the ministry. And I go, okay, what else would you like me to do? I'll take behind door number 2. You got something else for me? I was just healed. They told me I was going to die for 3 days. I spent 3 weeks in ICU. The first day, I should be like, God is great. And I did, as long as it lined up with what I wanted to do. God was the best as long as I could do what I wanted to do. See, we think God is great until he's not. Because his greatness is based upon if he makes me happy. So all I did was, okay, God, here's the deal. What do you want me to do to go in the ministry? He goes, I want you to go back to school. Fine. I did Global University online. I didn't tell Kelly. Great. Woo. Okay, God, am I keeping you happy? And can I keep going living what I want to do? Sure, okay, all right, Grant. And some other things started taking place. Okay, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, a year later, Kelly found that I was doing the schoolwork. Oh, stink. Now I have to be accountable to somebody. What's going on? I don't know. I'm just doing some schoolwork. She goes, okay, I just want to let you know, 4 years ago to a women's retreat, God told me you're going to go in the ministry, and you're running from it. And I went, oh, man. She didn't tell me to go in the ministry. She confirmed that which God already told me. There's a difference. I don't change my life because of what someone tells me to do. I change my life because God tells me to do. She confirmed that which was already spoken 4 years ago and never told me that. So, okay, what does this look like? So for the next 6-8 months, I go, okay, God, here's the deal. I'm kind of old now. I'm 31 years old, and listen, sorry. Okay, so hate me later. Okay, so I'm old. I'm 31, and I don't want to do this. Can I pay for someone to go to Bible college? It's $20,000 a year. That's great. $80,000. Woo! Over the next 4 years, God, I can do that because you've blessed me. You've provided for me. I can take care of that. No big deal. He goes, I'm not asking you for that. I'm asking you. But see, it seemed right, right? That's a righteous thing. Paying for someone else to do it. Right? Hey, you need your lawn mowed? Pay someone else to do it. To me, it meant the same thing. I'm just paying someone else to do it. Then, over the next couple months, I got up to putting two people through Bible college. Why? I was so happy with my bowl of soup. I was so happy with the known. I said, but God, I really want this. If I could just have this soup, I mean, and I won't ask for anything else. I'll just have soup, okay? So I told my dad and Kelly, the only two people I know, and he said, okay, here's the deal. My dad said, fast until you know the answer. And I go, well, what do you mean? He goes, no food until you know the answer. See, I didn't like that answer either. Everywhere I went, people were not making me happy. It just was not making me happy. I had to pray about, is this guy what you want me to do? I said, sure, fast. Okay, fasted. So I did 9 days, no food. Wow. Whew. Ooh, that was good. Did you get an answer? Nope. Okay, 3 days, had some food. Okay, 2 more days, no food. 3 days off. For 90 days, I went back and forth. 9 days of no food, then 5 days and 4 days. Then I eat a little bit and go back and forth. And all the time, we're not telling anybody. Just me and my dad and my wife, we know what's going on. What are we praying for? I don't really know. I'm just praying for God to manifest himself to me because I think I'm supposed to go in the ministry. I've been studying, but I got this great business. See, on the outside, everything that I could see in the natural said, you're crazy. What are you doing? So I didn't know what to do because everything on the outside said, don't do this. But when you humble yourselves and pray, God can speak to you. Now, he told me to go in the ministry, but it's not just good enough to be a hearer of the word. You have to be a doer of the word. So now I'm struggling through, okay, how do I do this? Because, God, we need money to live on. We need business. He goes, okay. That subdivision you're getting ready to start, Grant, with 435 houses that you think is going to be your retirement? Yep. The subdivision you're currently doing is going to be your last one. You're not going to do the next one. I mean, I laughed. I couldn't stop laughing. And I was like, Samuel, this can't be you, God. Why would God do that? God, you're so funny. Kelly, was that you saying that? Hey, was I dreaming this? I said, why would God do this to me? God loves me. He loves me so much that he wants what's best for me. God spoke to me on one day because I had just like a choice. As I'm telling you, is you're fasting not for your way, but for his way to be manifested in your life. I kept praying. I said, God, your way. God, what is your way? See, my way was to send two people through Bible college. I'll pay for it. No problem, God. I'll take care of it. Bam, I got the money set aside. No big deal. Is it my way or your way? For 90 days, my way or your way. Jimmy Swaggart, if you guys grew up listening to Jimmy Swaggart on the radio, TV, and 70s and 80s and all that stuff, my mom used to send me CDs of Jimmy Swaggart all the time and his music and stuff like that. And during this period of time, it's like I went back to a child and I was putting Jimmy Swaggart CDs on the way to the job sites. And I'm on my way off 96, and I just went down that way the other day. Right before Milford Road, I had been building some houses in Lyon Township, and I was getting ready to get off the expressway, and I kept saying, "Hey, God, your way or my way?" It started to rain. It just so happened, "It's Beginning to Rain" started to play by Jimmy Swaggart. And I was like, okay, coincidence, okay. So, and then I just kept going. Then I said, "Your way, God, my way. Your way, my way. Your way, my way." In front of me, a semi-tractor trailer just pulls right in front of me, right before the exit. The soot was all in the back of the vehicle. Someone had taken with their finger and wrote in it, "Do it God's way." Be careful what you're praying for. You just might get it. Because the flesh, don't pray flesh. Pray what the Spirit wants you to do. Pulled the car over, called Kelly, called my dad to go, "I got the word, and boy, am I hungry." It's like, whoo, got the word. He goes, "So what does this look like?" God, then, Kelly, I don't care. The rest of it's like, you know, the next year, I got to finish this subdivision and this and this. God, give us wisdom on how to navigate this. Bam, went into the ministry, and the rest of the story is for another time. But the last 15 years have been the most exciting 15 years of my life. In the flesh, has it been difficulties? Sure. But I don't want to live for a bowl of soup in my flesh anymore. I want to live by the Spirit, where the Spirit's calling me. Spirit direct me to speak to people, to confront things I don't really want to confront, to act in such a way that's pleasing unto God and unto myself. So time of prayer and fasting, this is what it's going to look like, everybody. God's going to speak to you. Could it be a handwriting on the truck? I don't know. He's the same for everybody because it means whoever Bob Perry's praying for, it could be totally different than somebody else. So they're going to minister to Bob. Brian Keel, whatever you're praying for, it could be someone totally different. So I'm not going to get caught up in what. I share you my story today because I'm just telling you, God's no respecter of persons. If he made it known to me, he's going to make it known to you. That's right. God's not trying to keep you and hide it from you. He's going to make it every perfect thing known unto you. You guys excited to fast? Your life is going to change. Life is going to change. Let's all stand this morning.